Counselor Accents Podcast. Two school counselors who love their jobs. Oh, and they happen to have Southern accents too. Bless their hearts.
I'm Laura Rankhorn.
I'm Kim Crumley, and together we are Counselor
Accents.
Yes. And our sound is horrible. We know that. Address the elephant. And I'm not talking about you. Okay?
My size and stature. I hear you. I think my aha moment on the sound, I knew it wasn't great, but I had an episode I was really excited about my husband hearing. And I said, did you hear our latest episode? And he said, yeah, we got to do something about your sound. And I wasn't talking about my sound. Your husband had already talked to you about your sound.
But when he said your sound, he literally meant my voice and what comes forth. That's what he was talking about. But I agree that we do need to. So we are meeting with some professionals to get some professional help. So bear with us.
If you're watching this, you may wonder, how is your sound so bad and yet you have a mic strapped to your shirt, Kim? It's because every microphone that you plug into your computer, it just doesn't work.
I only wear them for looks. It means nothing. There's no, this is cut. It's completely cut off. It's a pretend mic that came in my child's toy box. So I just hook it up and it makes me feel, it's kind of like that microphone I carry around in class.
Yes.
I love them. You know, I love a microphone. So we're going to get this stuff worked out. So yeah, that's coming.
Okay. Next elephant in the room. Let's just go ahead and talk about my bangs. Let's get that out of the way.
Oh, okay. Yes. Do you remember my unfortunate water buffalo look when I went down, parted down the middle?
And now I understand because I'm living proof of water buffalo.
It does not work for everyone, but I love the way you did try.
I did try. And, it could be because I'm in my lounge clothes right now, but maybe with the whole outfit, maybe it would have looked better.
That's great. You go with that thought.
It's more Backstreet Boys circa 1999.
And I don't know that anything from that period is not back in style. So Backstreet Boys, there we go.
That's true.
We apologize to them right now if you're
listening.
Sure they are. I'm sure they're listening. And Sam, that's how our hair looked? Actually, I like it. I actually do like it. But you see, I've gone back to the extreme side part.
My mother said, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. So I'm not even going to comment on your hair right now.
Oh, and see, that's what makes you precious.
All right.
That sounds like such a mean girl thing to say right there. I can hear my great mean girl group, and I shouldn't call it my mean girl group. Professionally, it's my relational aggression group, but that is really heated up for me. How about for you?
You know, that's on my list of things to talk about, just to issue an apology to our listeners, because if you were waiting, we try to get these episodes out on Mondays, but if you were waiting for an episode last Monday, it never came, because you're right. Things have heated up between the relational aggression. I don't know what happens in the spring, but we've got a blog post about it too, that in the spring, girl drama just intensifies.
Let me say this too, for I know everybody has been in different situations this year. Yeah. So let me say, I think that it has been because we've done it all. Our school year has been no school for a while. We've done hybrid for a while. We've done full, you know, now we're back almost full on. But now that my students are back together for 4 days of the week, they've not been used to being together. And it's like they don't know how to be together right now. And all the stuff that the trauma or whatever they've gone through. And now it just seems like all of a sudden it's like boom. And for those counselors who your students may not be in person, this was an adjustment that I did not expect. So this may be an adjustment for those folks who are starting school up now or are starting school soon, there may be an adjustment period where students have to learn to, they may have been, you know, on social media together, but back in person again, we're going through a very difficult time. So, it's like, yeah, that, we did not get an episode out because we were both dealing with back in school for at least 4 days. And those students, especially those middle school or in the upper elementary grades, they were really having a hard time.
And so we launched our relational aggression group last week. Well, I did. You may have had yours going on. I don't know. But I thought, okay, it's time. And if you need a relational aggression small group, we love the one that we have. And I will put a link to it in our show notes just so if you're looking for something to do with your students, it'll be there.
Yeah, it's clean up friendships. It's such a cute theme and really some practical things for your group to do. So,
and you and I might benefit from that too, because it's been a long time.
I feel since. Like you're mean to me.
Well, and you and I haven't been together for a long time, and then we had that one day where we were back together, and we had to kind of
just looked at each other weirdly, like.
And I was offended by that. So
yeah, okay. Also, we're getting ready for testing as we feel your pain. We feel your pain because a lot of school counselors still are very much the controllers of the whole testing situation in their schools. So, and if nothing else, we have to do the logistics and all of the be in charge of, you know, keeping safety, testing, safety issues, all of that stuff. But every counselor pretty much has to do the helping prepare. That's part of our realm is the academic and helping students and with getting ready for testing and testing stress. So we also are going to put a link to our testing lessons that we have. Yeah. So this is for different grades. Yeah. So that's some help. Maybe.
I hope so. I would like to take this opportunity to brag on some former guests on the Counselor Accents podcast. And I would like to say, you're welcome. If we launched you into stardom, then you never know what the Counselor Accents podcast is going to do for you. And I just would like to go ahead and take credit right now for launching them.
If I receive a bread and cheese or a beef and cheese basket from these folks, I'm not going to turn it away. Because I mean, if that's their way of saying thank you, that's fine with me.
But yes. Hear it. And that's a whole story we can unpack at a later time. But yeah. Since the giver of said meat and cheese tray thinks that you shared it, I'm not going to blow it for you right now.
Very good.
But anyway, this week, Laura Ross was on CNN and she was, you guys know that she was the school counselor queen. We're going to say queen of school counseling. And she was on CNN and we are so proud. And let me just say, these people are they were big before the Counselor Accents podcast, of course. We know that. Just trying to take a little credit.
Where it's not due. But go ahead.
Not due, but we are so stinking proud of her representing the school counseling profession and advocating for not just her students, but all of our students. Thank you for being the school counselor representing all the children.
She is so sweet. She is so very sweet. And such a kind person. So I really, really like Laura.
We do. And I probably like her more than you do. So
she's on the phone with me right now. We're texting. So take that, you know. And then what about Sandy?
I am so stinking proud of Sandy Austin. So she pitched her bionic. If you guys have not listened to the episode with Sandy Austin, it was one from, I guess, last April. And she was a school counselor in Colorado, and she was instrumental in helping right after the whole Columbine incident back in 1999. And so she was a guest on our podcast, and she has a wonderful program called Bionic. And she pitched that club to a group of people from Shark Tank were on there. And so it was a virtual pitch and she won the People's Choice Award. And I said, how could she not have won the People's Choice Award? Because
absolutely.
Just listen to that podcast and you will instantly fall in love with Sandy Austin.
So that was some funding for that too. So that's awesome. That is really awesome. Love these people. Love the work that they do. And so proud that we've gotten to know them through this podcast.
Yes. And again, I'd just like to take a little bit of credit for launching them into stardom.
I hear you, and you need to stop. It's over.
Well, why don't you tell us who we're talking to today? Yet another person we're launching into stardom, right?
Another person we're launching into stardom, because I feel like without our help, she would never have been the school counselor, school principal of the year without our aid.
Right. Even though we found her after that, Carinza Wing is the school counselor. Listen to us. We're so stuck on school counseling. She was the principal of the year. And we had an interview with her a couple of weeks ago, and we were amazed.
Absolutely. And she is from Gwinnett County in Georgia, and I believe our friend Laura Ross also hails from Gwinnett.
What do y'all have going on? Georgia?
Yeah. Something. So when she, this is a great podcast. We know you're going to enjoy it, but there's just some things I want to unpack with you, if I may.
Please.
I am amazed that she has such a working knowledge of what a school counselor does.
Having never been a school counselor. But yes, you're right. As we were talking to her, I know you. So I know I wanted to tell her, Kim does not know these school counseling terms that you're throwing out.
So please stop.
So please, I knew that she knew the profession better than you.
I felt like she knew it better than both of us. I'm going to be honest. But just knowing the responsibility that falls on her shoulders as a high school principal, and it sounds like the way her system works, that she is, you'll hear, somewhat responsible for making sure the feeders pattern works and going working with all the principals. But I felt like that was showed strong leadership, that she was so knowledgeable and that she was so in tune to the SEL component and the mental component. And I think one of the big things I learned from her, Laura, is she is in a position of leadership and she's school principal of the year for a reason. She has a strong grasp of all the wheels that are turning that make a school run. And I think as leaders, I think it inspired me and encouraged me to really have some knowledge of what everyone is doing in the school. You know, we talked about it and we said it's like a car that is running down the road. It takes a lot of parts to make that car run. And you know what your part does, but it's important to know what the other person's job is so that, you know, especially as a school counselor, as a leader, and as a leader, as a principal, to understand what everyone's role is and to appreciate that and to acknowledge it and to help in ways that we can. But you've got to understand it first. So I think that was my big takeaway.
And we invited her on because the idea was we wanted to have a principal on to talk about the relationship between the school counselor and the principal. And maybe yours is ideal, maybe it's not, but how can a school counselor work with the principal? How can you improve that relationship? Or, you know, how can you serve the principal better? Things like that. But this episode turned into so much more as she did share her knowledge of SEL and just hearing her ideas. And while we were talking to her, she got a call. Like, we're talking about SEL, we're talking about school counseling, we're talking about injustices that have been done and things like that. And all of a sudden she gets a call and she's got to head down to the football field because the turf man is there to roll out the turf. And you just get kind of this glimpse at all the different things. And as school counselors, we do the same thing where we've got a lot of irons in different fires. And so it was just so, I don't know, eye-opening, I guess, to see all the different things.
And I want to say, when we have talked to some leaders in education, the very best of the very best. And one thing that remains true for all of these great leaders is their sense of humility.
Yeah.
I think just that I've been just so impressed with that servant attitude that they have, and just the humility that they have. And that, you know, again, we're learning so much about what a great leader can be and do. And again, we always encourage counselors to think of ourselves as leaders. And so we're learning a lot from some of the best. So yeah, podcast, I don't want to give anything else away. You're going to, you know, it's a great podcast. So
listen and enjoy.
Okay. I'm Laura Rankhorn.
And I'm Kim Crumbly. And together we are Counselor Accents.
Kim, we have the principal of the universe with us today.
We've arrived.
I mean, this is big time.
So I feel like we've met our goal. We can go home now.
Okay. This is it. This will be our last podcast. Is that
what you're saying? On her tailcoats, acclimates.
Please don't say acclimates. I have
acclimates. We have Credenza with us today.
We have Carinza Wing, the principal of the year, the national principal of the year, but we will heretofore refer to you as principal of the universe. Welcome to the Counselor Accents podcast. And if you want to leave right now, we don't blame you.
No, ladies, I appreciate you inviting me today. It's my pleasure. And I'm always excited to talk about counseling and how we help support our students.
Gosh, I love you already. That is awesome. Thank you so much for saying that. Tell us a little bit about where you are and who you are. Let's start off with just getting to know our nation's principal of the year.
I am Carinza Wing, and I am a 31-year veteran at high school. And that's kind of where I've landed and my love. I love working with teenagers. It's never a dull moment. Every day's different. And I work at Collins Hill High School in Suwanee, Georgia, which is Gwinnett County, just north of Atlanta. I have worked at this particular school for 22 years. I helped open it. I left for a little while, opened another high school as a principal, and then returned here as principal. So I helped open this school as a teacher, worked here as an assistant principal, and then came back as principal. So most of my life's work has been here at Collins Hill.
Wow, that is really, that's a unique story. And I'm sure it feels like home.
It does. I can honestly say I'm very connected with the community here, and you know, we've grown over the years. At one point, we were the largest high school in Georgia with 4,200 students. Currently, we're a little smaller. We're at about 2,800. So you know, it's a large school, but it does feel like home, and we try to make sure that each one of our kids is known and they don't feel like just one of 3,000.
That's really hard to wrap my head around it. And you were talking about Gwinnett County having 180,000. Is that the county that you're in?
Yes.
That just is a hard number for me to think about being as one system. That is just, and it I know there's other school systems listening that's
they're more, like, yeah.
Just to kind of give you an idea of how we structure things, we have about 20 high schools, and we have something called a cluster system. So I have 4 elementaries, 1 middle school that all feed directly into my high school. And I am responsible for those 8,000 students and meeting with my elementary and middle school principals each month. And we really try to have a cohesive program K-12.
So what I'm hearing, and correct me if I'm wrong, the way you have it set up, you're the principal, you're the principal, and I imagine you have assistant principals who help you.
Yes.
So not only are you looking out for your school, but you also have the eye to these other feeder schools that are in your cluster.
Right. So we try to work vertically together to make sure that as our students move from school to school, it's as seamless a transition as we can provide. It's always difficult transitioning schools at sixth and ninth grade, but to really make sure that we're taking care of those students, we're helping that our, make sure that our programs academically are aligned, that, you know, we, and it's a collaborative effort. I'm not in charge of them. I don't evaluate my feeder schools. It's a collaborative process that we have, and we meet each month to work through those things. We have our superintendent obviously can't evaluate all of the 140 principals that there are. So there's assistant superintendents for elementary, middle, and high school level that help with those aspects.
Wow, I feel like a little small fish over here. That's amazing. But Georgia has just really expanded and grown over the years. We know this. We've watched it. And I'm so excited to have you, because I have so many questions about just the job of being a principal, and I want to get into those. But first of all, how did this process, this journey to becoming the principal of the year? I mean, that is such an honor. I mean, you're so humble and you're so approachable, and you've been laughing with us. And, you know, we were talking a little bit before we went on. I thought, this woman is principal of the year and so humble and kind. But tell me, how did you get to that point?
I'm very active in our state association for secondary school principals. And I've been on the board of directors for it for probably 10 years. And now I'm on the executive board. But part of that, you know, we have a process each year where our association, Georgia Association of Secondary School Principals, and y'all have one in Alabama. I know the guys that are in it. But, you know, that we have a contest each year, just like the counselors do, you know, to recognize someone in the profession that's doing good work. So I think I got nominated like 5 years in a row. And finally, the executive director said, look, would you please put your application in? So it's a very long application and very involved, just so you know. So I did it for him because I had a relationship with him.
Yeah.
So that was chosen as state principal of the year. And then you get to go to the national competition. So I did the nationals. Written application, and I did a very collaborative process where I brought in, there's a student part, there's a parent part, there's a teacher part, assistant principals had to weigh in, and then they chose me as one of the three finalists, and I had to do some more writing and some more interviews, and then they chose, I would just say it's a huge honor for my school and my students, because really, the honor is for the work that they've been doing.
Wow. And I'm hearing great leadership when you say those things. And I hope principals are listening, because I hear what you're saying. It's a team effort, and it took everybody to get here. That's an amazing story. And I bet that was a little bit nerve-wracking, was it not? Where did this interview process take place at?
Some of it was actually, we did a phone conference like in July, and I had to bring parents and students and people in when they were, you know, on vacation time. And then I got to travel to Washington, D.C. They brought all the state principals across the nation together. We had a great professional development learning session for 3 days. And before that started, they interviewed the top three finalists to make a determination. And then they surprised me at school later in October. We had the conference in September, and then my lovely AA, my administrative assistant, got to put together a big surprise party, which was quite the event.
I can imagine. I'm just grinning ear to ear thinking about this. I don't know. I think we're hungry for good news stories, and this is such a good news story. And all this is happening while the pandemic is...
I was 2020 principal of the year.
Okay, so everything was done before?
Well, I was named in October of 2019.
Okay.
And so I served the year of the pandemic as principal of the year.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, what a year. I mean, for you especially, what a year during this time you were principal of the year. And so that's amazing. So, I know you have some things that you'll probably want to talk about that you're doing and involved in, but as a principal, what do you think you've seen the most change? How do you think, I know my thoughts about how I've seen that role change because I've been in education for a long time. How do you think it's changed from when you started to now?
I think the principal's role has really changed more from a management position to more of an instructional leadership position, where we're truly trying to help grow teachers and grow students and really do that through our academic programming. And so that's where I see it has changed. I'm having to do a lot. You know, I think they've always kind of done the vision, mission, goal setting type things and a lot of management and human resources, because I have 250 staff members. And so that is part of my job is human resources and talent management. So, you know, my personal mission is just to help grow individuals, whether they be, you know, my assistant principals, my teachers, my students, to really help them find, you know, their personal passion and grow in that area. And so I kind of see myself as I was a basketball and track coach when I was teaching. And So I'm still a coach. I'm just more of a professional development life coach kind of person.
I love that. I love that so much. Laura has fallen off of the grid. I'm going to imagine if she has remained silent, I want you to know it is because she has fallen off of the grid. No, I don't know where she is. I thought she might have texted me, but she has fallen off the grid. I don't know where she has gone to, but I have you and I'm not letting you go. So she may jump back on here in just a little bit. You mentioned the role as being, and I see this too, as you're helping, you're finding what's best in your teachers and your support staff. And I think that's what a good principal does now is they're working alongside of, I see that more. I think I had an aha moment when I realized that when I was in school, the principal made sure that the teachers stayed in line and the students stayed in line and the budget matched up. And we still have some of those across the nation, that old school. And a lot of times, sadly, the people who are interning under them or whatever, they're mimicking that instead of taking hold of this new climate and culture and really building up your staff. That's really one of the main reasons I'm doing the podcast and we started speaking, is just because my principal made me. You know, he was like, I want to know where you're going to start speaking at. You have to apply somewhere. And so I followed, like, you know, as you were saying, somebody that was pushing you forward. And I think we need those people that push us. And I think a good leader pushes. The spotlight doesn't have to be on them. They push the spotlight out toward other people. So I love that. I didn't know if you were coming back or not, Laura.
I'm so sorry.
We were talking about just how it has changed, Laura, over time and what a good principal is doing now and really being that leader and not just managing a school, like keeping it out of the red and, you know.
Oh, yeah. School. So, I hate I missed that because I could have contributed to that.
I know you could have. I know you could have, because this is Laura and I talk about this a lot. You know, the principal has so, we hear from counselors all the time who are stuck in situations with principals who don't really understand their role, and it's so very hard to work under somebody like that.
And I will say I was fortunate. I was not a counselor before I went into administration. I taught history and, like I said, coached basketball and track. But I did, as an assistant principal, spend some time working with the counseling department. And I think that was a good part of my training as a principal, to really kind of dig in and understand what they do and the ASCA model and all the things that they, you know, put in place to go through RAMP and how they measure what they do. And I'll say that probably the biggest area of growth for me as a principal in the last few years has been the social emotional learning aspects, which we've always known about, but we haven't really named it and quantified it and tried to always incorporate it into our, you know, lesson planning and those types of things. So I've really enjoyed that aspect of it. I still haven't gotten enough training in trauma-informed practices. I mean, there's lots of things that I still want to learn about, but I'm thankful that I have those experts in the building that do have that training, because I know I can lean on them to help continue to develop our teachers and help, you know, be there for our students that are truly in need.
I can't tell you how much it warms my heart to hear you
say. Please
say
the cockles of my heart. Please say it warms the cockles of my heart.
I've never in my life heard that. I will not say that.
Have you heard that, Carenza?
Yes.
You have, haven't you?
Yeah.
Laura, you've got to start, I don't know, read a book. Read something. Go ahead.
Okay.
It warms the cockles of your heart. What?
That you are saying the terms that we say, you know, you're using these to prioritize social emotional learning and to say the trauma-informed school. I'm like, my goodness, where have you been all of our lives? But I just am amazed that you are making these things a priority in your school. And it's like we gave you a roadmap of what we wanted to talk about, because I did want to talk to you about social emotional learning and just see how it has unfolded at your school since you've been there for 22 years. Talk to us about the progression of the need for social emotional learning.
Well, I would say that we probably started and didn't really call it social emotional learning, but we started a teacher advisory program back in like 2005, because we are so large and we realized that the counselors have caseloads of about 500, and there was no way for them to be able to help truly advise students and build those close relationships with them. I mean, they have their kids that come to them and see them, but we really wanted to make our school feel smaller and to provide an adult in the building that a student could connect with that was not giving them a grade in a particular subject area. So we really do have a teacher advisory program where they have a group of students. They meet with them daily for 25 minutes. We have lessons we deliver. Now we use that 25 minutes for a lot of different things. Sure, they may be helping kids with credit recovery. We may be doing tutoring and mentoring and all sorts of things.
That's all part of it. Yeah.
But, you know, and that has continued since I helped set up that program in 2005 with the counseling department, and we have continued that work, which has been great. And we're, you know, continuing, and we've shifted some of the conversations. I would say I didn't really know what CASEL was probably until, you know, a year and a half ago. I attended a conference that I was invited to because I won the National Principal of the Year award. So, you know, that I got to sit at the table with some of the folks that run CASEL, and that was a really neat experience. And so I've really used their modules and information to help train my staff this year. So we did a little bit of training right before we went out. I think it was January 2020 before we went out for COVID, and looked at, you know, just ACEs and what is trauma-informed practices and those types of things. And we just did a brief overview. And then as we came into this school year, we were out from March until June. We had kids fall off the map like everybody else did, and we're trying to find them and trying to figure out, are they, you know, still enrolled? Are they still here? Have they moved? What's going on with kids? And we realized as we started school, because we were starting in a blended model, where we have kids in person and kids online.
Overwhelmed with that number, but that is a huge job. I mean, that is,
that's a lot. And for you to be so knowledgeable about our wheelhouse,
yes,
in addition to,
she said ask a national model, she said ramp,
then she goes turns right around and she has to worry about turf because that's what a principal has to do.
Yeah.
And she's all so right, calm. Sorry.
I mean, what were we talking about? Because I can pick back up.
You are right in the middle of June. You got out.
So, yeah. So with June, with all that happened in June, with the social justice movement and trying to figure out, because I've got a very diverse population. I have 26 different home languages that are spoken.
Whoa.
We are 31% African-American, 30% Latinx, 19% white, 9% or 11% Asian, and then some multiracial. So we've got a very diverse population. And in the mix of that, that was something that I felt like we needed to address as well. So the training that I've developed kind of combined social emotional learning and the wheel that Castle uses in that construct with culturally relevant teaching practices, because they blend really well together. And so that's the training we've been doing every month. So we've worked through our self-assessment and really done some implicit bias training with that. There's some great implicit bias training from Ohio State University that's for educators that we work through those online modules with, and have been weaving in both of those things as we've gone through the school year, because I felt like it was really important for us to have these open discussions and conversations. And it's been great. And but it's also been a lot of thinking about and planning, and how do you really mold that for your faculty so that there's people that are hungry for it and there's people that are like, I've had enough. So, in the midst of them being told, yes, you've got 10 students in your classroom and 20 students online and you're teaching them concurrently and all the technology that goes with that. So that's been our year.
You've got to be a cheerleader and keep it going and keep everybody moving forward. And in the middle of a pandemic and the riots and then on top of just if anything else could happen, it's happened. And so keeping that all together, it couldn't have been an easy year. You know, we were talking about her being, this will be a year being principal of the year and the pandemic principal of the year.
I've done a lot of podcasts and I've done a lot of virtual webinars.
Oh yeah,
I bet.
I haven't traveled so much.
I bet so. So what's next for you? I mean, where are we thinking? Books? Are we thinking? Or have you done? Where are you thinking? What's next? Just continue to keep it rolling.
Those are all great questions, and those are things I'm still figuring out. I love my job. I love doing what I do every day. And there's been openings at the district office, but that's really not my thing because there's no children there. And that's really what keeps me happy and drives the passion that I have. So I'm not sure. I have a 17-year-old and a 22-year-old as of this week, and I'm just continuing to try to do better each day for the students and the teachers that I have in my building.
I love that so much. I love that so much.
I want to ask a question, if I may have the talking stick, Kim.
Passing you the stick.
Thank you. And you guys may have covered this while I was gone, but I want to know, when you think about a school counselor, and what could a school counselor do that would help their principal the most? When you think about the support that a school counselor provides, what would be the best thing a counselor could do for you?
Well, the best thing they do day in and day out is, and this is one of those stat things, is that they help keep our kids on track for graduation.
Yes, definitely.
And I know that sounds like it's really like cut and dry, but I know there's a lot that goes into that.
Right.
And what I can say is, you know, what may go into that is helping, you know, helping a student work through some emotional issue or some family issue at home or whatever, and help and try to keep them focused and in school. And I think that's what is important to me, is helping kids finish high school and not only finish, but have something to show for it other than their diploma. Mm-hmm. Because I'm very passionate about making sure that kids don't just have a piece of paper, that they have work experience, that they have college credits, that they have something that they can leave with that's going to help them with life. So
that's so good. That is so good, because, you know, that's what we try to tell our students, is that grades are important, but they're not everything. And I love how you're kind of putting it in a bundle to let them leave with, like you said, more than a piece of paper, more than a 4.0, more than a whatever. You're giving them life experience. And that's so valuable.
So we try to find opportunities in our building for kids if they want to have some type of work experience. The great thing about working with my cluster schools is if a kid does a pathway, we have an education teacher pathway, they can go have experiences where they're helping at the elementary school or the middle school, and or in a special education classroom here in our building. So we try to create those experiences for kids so that they have those opportunities as they kind of work through. We have a great STEM program, and so part of their senior year, they're supposed to do an internship for a certain number of hours for their program. So, you know, we have STEM specials at elementary school. So sometimes they will go over and help work with them, or we'll bring our kids across the street and they'll get to come into our makerspace and make something, and the high school kids help them. So just really trying to build those connections, because I think, and we have a peer leader program where they're helping support kids with reading or math at the elementary and middle schools as well for some of their service hours. We really have a service focus. And my thought is that, you know, I know that teachers aren't good at promoting the teaching profession right now, but we desperately need teachers. And some of our kids may not realize that that's one of their talents unless they have an opportunity to try it.
Wow. I don't know. I'm just, how do you keep all these balls in the air? I mean,
I have a lot of good people that help me.
Yeah.
Remember, and the 250 employees.
She's got good, and that's a good leader. A good leader to bring out the best out of other people. But even so, that's a lot of balls in the air just to know who's doing what. The people who are they're helping you and supporting you. That's a lot. But it sounds like your heart is in the right place, and that's moving these kids forward. And I want to visit this school, don't you, Laura?
That's what I was thinking. I thought maybe it was just me, but I'm like, Kim, let's drive over. May I say this? And Kim, you're going to laugh at me, but I'm just going to tell you, I used to work for a yearbook company, and I attended a workshop, a yearbook workshop at your school.
Oh, really?
Yes. I was not your yearbook rep. I was in Alabama, but I would drive over and attend that workshop. So I've been to your school. I've walked the halls of your school, and it's a beautiful school.
Thank you.
So when we show up and we're like, Carinza, well, to me, she's going to say, get back in your class. What are you, in the 12th grade?
And to me, she'll say, you must be security.
Because you're tall. I really am waiting on that book, though. I just feel like you've got so much. And I know you're humble, but let me ask you this, and we won't keep you long. I know that you're running a school.
And she's got to get down to the football field and help with the turf.
Lay the turf. I mean, I love that, though, because we're talking to the principal of the year, and they're calling about turf. I mean, she still gets to deal with the everyday.
Yes.
So what was it, do you think, and I know you're very humble and so sweet, but what do you think it was that set you apart from everyone else, that set you apart, that made you principal of the year, do you think?
I think whenever an organization is taking an opportunity to recognize somebody in their group and profession, that they want to make sure that the practices that they have and what they do align with their beliefs and vision and mission. So NASSP had just come out with a book called Building Ranks, and it really focuses on both the climate and culture side of school and the academic side of school. And I believe that my school is very representative of what America is going to look like by 2030, and that we are doing good work. We've not closed the achievement gap by any means when you look at ethnicity. But when you look at things like my AP scores and our students that are in a low socioeconomic group almost perform exactly the same as our kids that are not. And I think that says a lot about the work that we're doing day in and day out with our kids, and that our gifted and AP programs are very representative of our student population, as is my STEM program, because we've been very intentional about making sure that we remove barriers for students and try to give every student an opportunity to go where they want to go. And so that's why I think we probably were recognized.
That's so good.
I love her. I do too.
And that's what a great leader does. And she's looking at the whole team and what they've done. We cannot, say enough, as goes the leader, so goes the school. We feel a lot of times that's such an important job. And it's been a very difficult year for all principals, and we have felt for them and felt for you guys so much during this past year. But gosh, we just appreciate good leaders.
You read this book?
No, talk to me.
Here's one for you that's good.
Okay.
Elena Aguilar, Onward, Cultivating Emotional Resilience in Educators. And it takes you on a month-by-month journey of the school year. It's pretty cool.
No idea how we love stuff like that. Like, we read all the time.
I'm excited. I'm ordering this one today, Kim.
I ordered it right now. Already ordered it.
They're here. They're delivering it right now. Amazon is here.
Come in. So, thank you so much. And we are going to read this book. Is there anything?
It's been helpful.
Things that inspire you. I am just reading, and Corinza, I know you won't, Lauren, please take it the way I wanted you to take it and hear my heart. But there was a book written in 1936 called How to Win Friends and Influence People.
I have read that. Thank you.
Please do not talk, Laura, and don't make up stories. So I found this book in my home. I collect books. I love books. And so I have a huge library. Laura's been in my home. I have walls of books. And I found this book and I started reading it. And that very first chapter is about finding the best in other people. I brought that for my principal, and I said, I want you to know, this is, I can't say it, but Dale Carnegie says it for me, that a good leader brings out the best. And let me just say, this is what I tell him. He brings, in education, a lot of times we deal with other educators who we can't do anything about them. They're here. They're here to stay. And I have seen him take out of people what I did not think anything was there to take out. And that is amazing to me. And that's what I feel like a good leader does. They find something in you. Everybody's an expert in something. They find something to dig out and make you move forward.
And I think that all people went into education for a reason, and they lose sight of that sometimes. And they just have to be reminded of why they actually went into education and teaching and counseling, or whatever aspect they're doing in the school building.
And to be recognized. I think everybody wants to be recognized for what I'm here, and if we could recognize that. And I think that's another thing a great leader does. And we just feel honored to have had you on today. Is there anything else that you would like to share with your fellow school counselors or educators, your fellow educators?
I just appreciate the job everybody has done this year. It's not been easy. Just continue to stay the course, because our kids are worth it. And hopefully the ones that have chosen not to participate this year. We'll be back as we come back to school in person. That's my biggest hope. And if not, maybe we can at least reach them and help them find something that they're passionate about so that they can continue to contribute to our great society.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask more questions. When she's talking there, I want to know more.
I know. This has been so great. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. I've truly enjoyed it. And I appreciate the invitation. And it's great to meet two new educators.
Yes.
So, Laura, I'm so excited. We have some incredible guests coming up in future podcasts.
You are right. We do have some incredible guests. I don't even want to give it away, like who all we've got coming on. But can I say heavy hitters? I would say they're heavy
hitters. You can. I'm excited.
We're going to kind of squirrel away on an episode or two and do something a little bit different. And I'm excited about that too. We're going to start a segment where we share people's stories, because one of the signs I have up in my office is be kind, for everyone's fighting a battle that you know nothing about. And I know during tough times in my own life, I've said everybody has a story. And if we could just wear a button that has our story on it, we'd be a whole lot nicer to people, because you never know what people are going through.
That is so good. I love that. I have seen that in your office, and that is perfect. And we try to teach that to students. But I think we know some of the stories that are coming up, and we've heard their stories. We're excited about it. But when you think from the ear, listening of the ear of a school counselor, an educator, what could we have done in some of these instances? What should we do now?
Yeah.
Learning from these stories. So before we ask other people to tell their stories, we thought that we would start with our stories. Or within this, there'll be our stories. So we'll probably start with one of our stories, and then maybe the next month we'll have a guest story, and then, you know, so we'll weave both of our stories into this. But I think both of us, when we get a guest on, we even some of that our listeners don't know, but we always want to know, what's your story? Our guests, I have surprised us with some things that they have gone through that are just like, what? We had no idea that was your life, or you've gone through that. So we love stories, and we think that's how we love how we learn. So we hope that you like it. And if it doesn't work, we'll go back to,
And if you have a story that you think, this has impacted me and I might could share it, then contact us.
Absolutely. Let us know. We want to hear your stories. We love stories.
So anything else we need to talk about before we go?
All hearts and minds are clear.
Join us on Instagram. Like and review. Do whatever that you have to do. Subscribe to this podcast, and then you'll know when we have new episodes coming out. Rate us, leave a comment, because one of the last comments was my husband, and that's embarrassing, even though he says he stands by what he wrote, whatever. but if you could just leave a comment and get his off of there, that'd be great. And follow us on Instagram. I know we say this all the time, but we really are trying to do better about posting funny things and helpful things. I'm trying to do better.
Yes, because I would. Yeah. I don't know. Thanks for listening or watching.
We're watching.
Okay. I'm Laura. Sorry.
I'm a frog. Sorry. Oh.
We're only on 7 a.m.
I know. It's been a rough day.
You got a lot of water to drink.
Okay.